The Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
NDBI, the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee College of Business Administration, is the only major university-based research enterprise devoted to improving the way weapon systems and services are acquired. NDBI's focus is to help the government and defense industry provide our nation's warfighters with weapon systems and services that are on cost, on schedule, and perform as expected. Solid research prompt practical solutions and success-based management principles. NDBI. Good government and value for taxpayers.
Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us as always. We've got a good show today. We're going to be following the money, specifically getting out the crystal ball and taking a look at what's likely to happen in the lame duck session and also in the aftermath when this Deficit Reduction Commission makes its report. And first up with her crystal ball is Jessica Clement. She is legislative director of the Federal Managers Association. And Jessica's just coming off of vacation, so she said she's a little bit rusty, but here we go. Jesse, thank you for coming in fresh from vacation to tackle this.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, before we get into the legislative thing, so many people are interested in the national security personnel system, and we got one of the most bizarre questions, which I will forward to you at a later date. But how's that going? How's the transition back into the GS system going?
Well, almost all of the 175,000 people they said would convert by the start of this fiscal year have been converted. About 135,000 have been converted to date, and the numbers seem to be staying the same. Numbers FMAs, you know, was out there saying from the get-go that this was going to happen. About 20% or just over 27,000 employees are subject to pay retention right now.
Okay, so that means they did better under the NSPS merit-based pay raises, and now that they're coming back, they'll be made whole, or they'll come in at their current level, their
right.
NSPS level, but in future they'll get what, 50%
half
of the raise?
Yep.
Okay, so if it's 1.4%, this January, they get 0.7 or something like that.
Theoretically, I know there's, you know, it's not as simple as that, and I've been trying to track down how exactly it is calculated, but it's based on locality pay and all this other stuff. So it's not that simple, but I think that's a good estimate.
Nothing ever is. You know,
if
this was simpler, you and I would have to get real jobs. You know? So thank heaven for confusion. Now, the one we got was interesting. It was from an NSPS person in Hawaii. And
mm-hmm.
he was talking about the locality pay you got, and we were scratching our heads, and I said, wait till Jessica gets back from vacation.
So. Well, we've been dealing with this, we've actually been dealing with that with our folks in Hawaii a lot, because last year under the defense authorization, legislation was passed that phases out the COLA that folks in Hawaii,
right.
Alaska, and the territories receive, and phases in locality pay. You know, those employees have never paid locality pay before, or have never received locality pay before. They've always gotten a cost of living adjustment. And now we're going away from the cost of living adjustment and moving into the locality pay. And locality pay is taxed and considered income, you know, for all intents and purposes. So as they transition, and now they're going under pay retention, they're hit twice.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You know, you tell somebody based in Washington in February, and you say, you know, your counterpart in Hawaii it's 80 degrees out there, and they're getting a 20% tax-free cost of living differential, and you can hear the engines revving up.
Right.
But the problem with that is once they retire, their salary is based on a much lower, or
yes.
their annuity is based on a much lower salary, so they're willing to trade off and go to locality pay, even though they lose the tax-free locality pay.
Right, that was one of the big reasons FMA was pushing for that change, because we heard from a lot of our managers in Hawaii that they have these highly skilled, qualified employees who would get about 3 to 5 years out from retirement, and they'd go find jobs in San Francisco or L.A. to up their high three, because locality pay is counted towards retirement. And the workforce in Hawaii, for example, the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard, was suffering because of the COLA.
Right. And I heard, too, that they used to, we called it the pineapple grapevine, but people here in Washington and probably other places were tracking people's ages in Hawaii to see who was about to retire.
Yep.
Or maybe who was 2 or 3 years out, and then they would apply for that job. Well, thanks for that update, that National Security Personnel System.
Yeah, there is one thing we should probably still mention about that, since if your listeners are contacting you. Senator Akaka does have a piece of legislation which would fix this.
Okay.
I just want your folks in Hawaii to know that he's working on it.
Right. Okay. And he was very successful earlier, so we know he's serious about this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Jesse, we've got a couple of interesting things coming up here. If the newspapers are right, if the talk shows are correct, the American people are in a restive mood, and this coming election could produce a lot of surprises. Some people that we thought you couldn't blast out of town may be losing their seats, There is certainly the possibility that there will be more lame ducks in this lame duck Congress than we have seen maybe in a long time, as far as a percentage goes. And of the survivors, and this is just my off the top of my head, but of the survivors, a lot of people are going to be very cautious about what they do politically and the anti-government mood that's filled out there. And before we came on the air, I heard the CNN news about that fiasco in Bell, California, where one of the, I think the county commissioner or the city commissioner was paying himself $800,000 a year. But all of this, and then this tidal wave of news stories about overpaid government workers and the national salary average, it just seems like, to me, this is the potential. It's like we're watching a hurricane forming out in the Atlantic, and the potential for a force five is there, and it could hit in the lame duck section. Am I overstating this?
I don't think so. I think there is a growing anti-Fed sentiment, and I've been pretty vocal that I hope it dies down after the election. And the closer we get to the election, and you know, I just want to make clear, FMA is a nonpartisan organization, but the ones saying this are the Republicans. And I think if the Republicans win either chamber in Congress, this is not going to die down after the elections. You know, that's Jesse Clements' 2 cents on it.
Right. Well, and I would think, too, that that if the Democrats do retain control of the House, the scare they got earlier this year and, you know, up to and including November 2nd may put some fear into them.
I think so, too. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens come November 2nd because, you know, incumbents are losing, but, you know, the Tea Party folks lost a lot of primaries too. So, you know, I don't want to speculate, it's anybody's guess, but there are more and more news stories coming out about overpaid feds. There is a growing anti-government, anti-federal employee sentiment out there, and we need to do what we can. My organization, other federal employee organizations, other feds themselves need to do a better job of informing the public what they do on their behalf.
Well, I think a lot of this, too, obviously is driven by the lousy economy, by the fact
that,
you know, furloughs in the private sector, people shutting down businesses altogether. Mm-hmm. I know of, and I'm not exaggerating, I know of a half a dozen people who have taken pay cuts ranging from a temporary 5% cut to someone who was taking a permanent 25% cut. And in one case, this was a union shop, but they voted to do that to survive. And so you can see why, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, whatever, there are just a lot of people who are being hit by this, and they see the government hiring and expanding at a time when the economy is not, when unemployment is bumping up to almost 10%, and in some parts of the country is much higher than that. So this, I think as long as the economy is bad, this is not going to go away.
And that's certainly understandable, Mike. If you had lost your job, would you want to read in the papers about how federal employees may get a 1.4% pay raise?
Exactly.
Of course you wouldn't. But I think what people lose sight of is the work the government does on their behalf. They lose sight of, like, okay, yeah, let's furlough federal employees for, you know, a handful of days this year to save the government money. Great idea in theory. However, what happens when that person out of work goes to his Social Security office to file for SSI benefits and no one's there to help him because the government furloughed employees that day? You know, we need to stop looking at these short-sighted proposals and really look at concrete ways we can save the government money without doing a blanket furlough of federal employees.
Well, you know, I got a brilliant email from someone, and it inspired a column that I wrote while you were off gallivanting around on vacation. But the theme was that back in, I think it was the 70s, they voted a solid hiring freeze in the government. And they said, nothing, no hiring. We're going to continue this for, I think, 6 months, maybe even a year, and let normal attrition take care of it, and that way they wouldn't have to fire people. Well, immediately somebody said, how about the Defense Department? And they said, you know, you're right. We've got to let them continue doing it because it's national security and whatnot.
Right.
And then somebody said, well, 1 in 6 people get Social Security checks. What do you think about that? And this was back in the days when people were literally getting checks in the mail.
Right.
So they were exempt. Postal Service was exempt to deliver those checks, right? And the IRS, you know, it's no good printing money like Uncle Sam does unless you can also collect it. So the IRS was exempt. And at the very end of the day, it was something like the American Battle Monuments Commission was the only, maybe the TV. You know, it was just a handful of agencies that were considered that eligible for this hiring freeze. And what it showed was the constituency that so many federal agencies have: Agriculture Department, food inspectors, meat inspectors, Consumer Product Safety Commission.
I don't think we want to lay off those people.
It's like you pick the ones we'll lay off. And it is interesting. That said, though, taken in total, a lot of people are angry at the government, think it's too big and too bloated. Now, this year, lest people think we're exaggerating, weren't there 4 serious attempts to freeze federal pay in the Congress?
There were 3.
3, okay. What happened on that? Well, I mean, was this, sometimes this is showboating. It's almost theater.
It is, and it sells with their constituents, and that's why they do it. But I also think that there is some genuine concern about the size of government, and folks want to rein in government spending. It's unfortunate, though, when, you know, certain Republican leaders in Congress want to rein in government spending, and they just say, okay, well, let's deny feds a pay raise. They're not cutting their own legislative staff. They're not, you know, they're not decreasing, you know, their own salaries. So I think those proposals are so short-sighted. But basically, there were 3 votes. There were 3 motions to attach to various bills a pay freeze for federal employees. Basically, what you received in 2011 would be the same salary you received in 2008. All 3 of them failed. But I do think it's important to note to your listeners that they failed on a procedural motion. They failed because, you know, they weren't germane to the bill that they were trying to insert the amendment to. So we haven't had a straight up or down standalone vote in either chamber to give or deny feds a pay raise next year. And if that should happen, I'm very wary of how the vote would come out.
Well, proceed with that in a minute. We need to take a short break here. Be right back on WFED 1500 AM.
If you can't communicate effectively, you can't get the job done. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and Presidio. Unified communication solutions from Avaya and Presidio increase employee productivity, improve customer service, and cut costs by integrating multiple forms of communications across multi-vendor networks. Faster, more efficient, at a lower cost. The future of unified communications has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
The Commerce Department is feeling the pressures of having a tighter budget. The agency is looking at a few ways to spend money on technology more efficiently. Simone Zickman is the Commerce Department's CIO.
And here we're looking at things like data center consolidation, infrastructure consolidation, strategic sourcing, and doing smarter procurement across the department. Really things to just improve the effectiveness with which we spend funds for IT in the department.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Diaper bag, check. Bouncy seat, check. Stroller, car seat, bottles, butt wipes, and binky, check, check, and double check. Why it takes 30 pounds of equipment to transport one 12-pound baby, we'll never know. So at Kaiser Permanente, we put everything for baby and you in one place. Everything you need, from obstetricians and nurses to nutritionists and pediatricians. A whole care team of specialists assembled to keep your baby and you in top running order, not running around. And you can even go online with My Health Manager to schedule routine appointments, check most lab results, and exchange emails with your Kaiser Permanente doctor's office. Imagine having a conversation with your pediatrician without having to fold or unfold that stroller. Convenient? Check. Efficient? Check. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. A lot of focus on managing the younger generation. What about managing older workers? We'll talk to an expert who has studied how to do it effectively. And you struggle with change management. We'll talk to the author of the Federal News Radio Book Club book. It's called The New Social Learning. We'll talk about how collaboration tools change in the way we learn this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. My guest in this first half of the show is Jessica Clement. She is the legislative director of the Federal Managers Association, and we thought we'd kind of get the management point of view of this, but what is the lame duck session of Congress? What could it do to federal and postal workers and retirees, and what is it likely to do? And of even more import, possibly, is the Deficit Reduction Commission that is going to make its recommendations around December 1st, and as I understand it, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, if 14 of the 18 members agree on any specific point, any recommendation to cut something or abolish something or freeze it, if 14 of the 18 agree, then it will go directly to the House and the Senate for an up or down vote.
That's correct. It's just like how the BRAC Commission works.
So that is warp light speed for Congress, isn't it?
I mean, it is, but I think we should be skeptical of 14 of those 18 people agreeing on one thing.
Yeah. I look at the composition.
We got to get to that point first.
Yeah, well, and of course, what amused and frightened number of people is the vice chairman of that commission, Alan Simpson, former senator from Wyoming. He referred to Social Security as a cow with 310 million faucets, except he didn't say faucets, so it got everybody's attention. But he is there, and he's saying things like that.
He is, and I think folks on Social Security or about to go on Social Security really need to be paying close attention to what comes out of the Deficit Commission. It's my understanding that they have another meeting next week. Now, personally, I mean, we're going to look out for Social Security folks as much as we look out for feds, because, as you know, FERS employees pay into Social Security as well. I mean, this isn't an issue only for those who worked in the private sector, but any attention that they take attention away from cutting federal salaries, you know, we're pleased with that too. But I think it's anybody's guess what can come out of that fiscal commission. I don't think it's going to be, you know, solely federal employee benefits and salary or Social Security. They're supposed to be looking at all ways to bring down the federal deficit.
Yeah, and you know, this is uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
The BRAC Commission, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission, a lot of people thought that it would not work, that somebody would blink and these things wouldn't happen. But as we know, they are happening, including a huge defense complex that's being built over in Virginia, where you need more traffic, but it's going to bring something like 22,000 people into one area. So stranger things have happened. There's a congressman, Mike Kaufman, a Republican from Colorado. He says that 24 of the 50 states have furloughed their state employees for given periods of time. He's introduced an interesting kind of a share the pain bill here, at least for the federal family. His bill would require 2 weeks of furloughs in the year 2011 mm-hmm. for federal civilian workers. He says it would save $5.5 billion with a B. And he said that he would also have members of Congress take a 10% pay cut, just to sort of show that they were playing in the
share
game.
Share the love a little bit.
Do you know, not to nitpick here, but when he talks about 2 weeks, is he talking about 10 days? Is this working days, or is he talking about 7 and 7 is 14 days?
I believe it would be 10 working days.
10 working days. So that's, and
he's talking, that's how they've worked in the past.
Okay, all right, and they would do that. Has anything like this ever happened in the government? I mean, we've had continuing resolution problems, but people always got paid. But to have something like 10 unpaid mandatory furlough days, I don't recall it.
There has been attempts to do so, at least in the few years I've been working on federal employee issues. Going back historically, though, I do not know the answer.
Yeah, I think we can't speak for the Great Depression, but because people actually took a pay cut in those days, but they were glad to have a job, and we're not quite there yet. What about threats to or talk about the retirement system? Because, you know, they bring up, it's like the movie Casablanca, like round up the usual suspects. Every time anybody decides to save money in the federal employee retiree realm, they say, why don't we eliminate this system that lets people figure their annuities based on their high 3-year average salary, which is quite generous, and go to what is more commonplace in the private sector, and that is base your annuities on the high 5-year salary. So switching from the high 3 to the high 5, for the first time since I've been doing this work, and that's been about 80 years, it seems, people are asking if they should retire now, if they should get out while the getting's good. And need to take a break, and I'll get you to answer that when we come back here on WFED 1500 AM.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
G. Joe Matthew, Vice President, Security Solutions from CA Technologies, commented during the panel discussion on identity-aware data loss prevention, how to manage and protect sensitive information.
Data loss prevention, losing the data is only one use case, right? It's bad that we lose data, especially personally identifiable information, but that's kind of a symptom to a bigger problem, which is really lack of control of data.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, CA.
How do you keep your infrastructure safe without limiting your people and productivity? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems. Can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you enforce defense in detail, not just defense in depth? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems? With CA Technologies, you can. To learn how, visit ca.com/gov/value.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
The Department of Homeland Security is coming under fire from Capitol Hill. Two senior senators say the department is wasting time and money on a plan to protect the U.S. from a nuclear attack. So far, DHS has spent $4 billion on technology that is supposed to detect nuclear material at our borders. But so far, they have shown little progress. A spokesperson for the department told a Senate hearing they're working as fast as they can on a solution.
The Atlantic hurricane season officially began June 1st and ends November 30th, bringing the possibility of strong winds, heavy downpours, and power outages. Visit 72hours.dc.gov to get information that will help ensure you and your family are prepared for severe summer weather. Get informed, make a plan, and make an emergency go kit. Learn the difference between a watch and a warning and sign up to receive emergency text alerts. Visit 72hours.dc.gov. That's 72hours.dc.gov. Be ready, DC.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Well, you know, Facebook has been having somewhat of a problem because they're just sharing your data with everybody. Mm-hmm. Deactivation is not the same as deletion.
The information is still out there.
And what they try to do is they try to urge you to deactivate, and they try to keep you away from that nasty deletion page. You see, deactivation simply turns off your account, but does not remove the data. The idea behind deactivation is that someday you'll be back.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn, winding it up with Jessica Clement, Legislative Director of the Federal Managers Association. And Jesse, just a quickie on that. What do you think about a threat this in this lame duck session, maybe coming from the Deficit Reduction Commission or next year to the federal retirement formula system?
Well, again, I don't want to speculate because I'm certainly not up on the Hill and I'm not making these decisions. I would be very surprised if we saw anything in the lame duck session. I would be less surprised if something came out should control of Congress switch in either chamber.
Okay.
I think if the Republicans win control, especially in the House, they're going to be very, very focused on reducing the federal deficit, and that's one place to start. It's one of many places, but federal employees should be paying close attention to what their own members of Congress has to say on these issues.
And in the Washington area, this has been traditional for, I guess, as long as I can remember, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they are very aware of their federal and retiree and military constituents' needs and act accordingly.
Absolutely. If you are, you know, as a voter, you should be reading the websites of the candidates in your district, checking out their blogs. I've been very surprised at what some candidates had to say based on their strong federal employee constituents. Your listeners need to be very aware of what they're saying in terms of federal employees.
We'll do it. Jesse, thank you for coming in
off
vacation. I think they call this a walk-off home run. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to be talking in a second with Charity Wilson. She is with the Legislative Department of the American Federation of Government Employees. Of course, that's an AFL-CIO union that has members in, I guess, virtually every federal agency. We're going to get her take on it as someone who watches legislation, who is a lobbyist, and also find out what people at AFG are up to. Charity, you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, thank you for joining us, and I'm sorry for the mix-up. I reschedule things. This has not been my week, but thank you very much for standing by and coming on
That's
with us.
Quite all right.
Listen, first off, what's AFGE up to these days?
Well, in addition to continuing to organize, legislatively, we are pushing for bills that will help the federal workforce, quite frankly, to do their jobs to serve the public.
Well, I know you've been actively organizing in the Transportation Security Agency, and the argument against that the management has made in all administrations since there's been a TSA is that you can't move people around quickly enough if they have to go to the union shop steward or have to go and rewrite the rules. The argument, of course, from the union side of it is that everybody is willing to cooperate for security needs, but that these employees are often badly treated without some kind of representation. So how's that going?
Well, for one thing, I would like to address that. Actually, that concern that was raised by the Bush administration, it really has not been an issue that has been raised by the Obama administration, but by the Bush administration, it simply comes down to assignment of work. And in federal government, the management always has the right to assign work. That simply is a distortion that has been repeated time and time and time again, which is why you have folks in the Border Patrol and the Federal Protective Service and FEMA who are deployed at a moment's notice because in federal government, management retains the right to assign work. That's in federal law. A collective bargaining agreement, a union, is not going to change that. Now, what we've done is back in April, AFG filed a petition with the Federal Labor Relations Authority for an election for exclusive representative of TSOs, Transportation Security Officers, what the directives that came down from previous administrators at the TSA said was that TSOs could not collectively bargain. It did not say that they could not have an exclusive representative. And so we have filed that petition, and there have been several stages of back and forth with briefs, and we are currently awaiting the decision of the FLRA on that petition, and hopefully it will be coming in the upcoming weeks.
Okay, and obviously the Bush administration has gone, so you know we're now in the Obama administration. Has there been any help or hopeful signs from the top?
Well, I think as a candidate, President Obama stated that he would give TSOs collective bargaining rights and other workplace protections to keep them from being so badly mistreated at work, as you said. And we have no reason to believe that that is not going to happen. It was only in July, I believe, that the agency confirmed an administrator, John Pistol, and he has stated that he is in the process of doing an analysis. We believe it's an analysis of implementing collective bargaining, but he has said it's an analysis of what the effect of collective bargaining will be, and that he will make his decision then. But we believe, based on the very specific and direct statements of President Obama as a candidate, that that will in fact happen. But we'll also be pushing for legislation, the Transportation Security Workforce Enhancement Act, that was introduced last year by Representative Nita Lowey of New York, that statutorily would give TSOs the same rights as other federal workers, in particular other workers at DHS. Even if Administrator Pistol were to administratively give them their rights, they would still be at the whims of the next administration that might think otherwise and take those rights from them. And so we want it in law that they are federal workers and they are to be treated the same as other federal workers.
Okay. I talked to Jessica Clement earlier from the Federal Managers Association, and we agree that gazing into a crystal ball is difficult business at best, and yet we have the lame duck session of Congress coming up. We have a mood in the country, if what we see on television and read in the papers is correct, that people are restive and, they want to throw the rascals out regardless of who the rascals are. And that there could be a lot more lame ducks, percentage-wise, in this coming lame duck Congress than we've seen in many, many years. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about the mood of Congress and what might happen to federal workers and federal retirees during the lame duck session?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because it's always very easy to scapegoat federal workers. We've seen it done in the past time and time again. In the 90s, we saw the federal government shut down. And we saw, I think what that did was it really made very concrete and clear to the public just what federal workers do. And that's that they really do run this country. And so there's always a risk, when there are hard economic times, when the country is somewhat in flux politically, to kind of put a target on federal workers' backs. And so we are very aggressively pushing back against that. Federal workers are part of the solution. They are not the problem. They are part of the solution. And these suggestions that are out there, such as a pay freeze of federal workers, well, that's putting an undue burden on federal workers in regards to deficits and the federal budget. They have families that they have to feed and take care of and mortgages to pay just like everybody else. And we believe that that is a wrong-headed approach because not everybody in the federal government is making a whole lot of money. And so we push back against that. And so that's the yes part of the concern. The no part is, regardless of who is sitting in Congress, who controls Congress, for federal workers, everything we get, whether it be a benefit, a right, or pay, has to be approved by Congress. And so you have to work with what you got.
Well, and so, I think, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just thinking, you know, given the mood in the country that we're being told what it's like out there, seeing some of these primary results and from statements of politicians, most people in the United States, unless you're in your 80s, have no memory at all of the Great Depression. And this is, we are told, this is the worst recession in decades. So this is, for most of us, this is a new hit. You know, seeing your 401k plan drop by 40% to 60% is a major hit for people. Had companies going out of business. I know, I was telling Jessica Clement earlier that I know of a dozen people who or companies in the media business that took pay cuts of from 5% to 25%. Some were temporary. The 25%, oddly enough, is permanent in the business, and that's the kind of thing that people are being hit with. You have a congressman who said that 24 of the 50 states are furloughing or have furloughed employees, and so it looks like it would be pretty easy to, even though feds aren't guilty of any of this, and in fact the government is growing as part of the effort to, you know, take control of the economy and get it back on track. But Representative Mike Kaufman of Colorado, a Republican, said he wants 2 weeks of furlough next year. He said it would save $5.5 billion. And he said that he would ask members of Congress to take a 10% pay cut to sort of make a start in this. It seems to me something like that might be very popular during a lame duck session.
Well, it might, but I think also cutting wasteful spending, cutting all of the contracting out of federal worker jobs. So some of those contracts have gone out and they've been no bid, and they're quite expensive, and the people, quite frankly, aren't getting the work done. We know of work that's been contracted out that federal workers actually have to supervise the work of the contractor, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Let me ask you about the contract. When we come back, we need to take a short break here. I'm talking with Charity Wilson from the Legislative Department of the American Federation of Government Employees. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by ARINC.
Fighting between Yemeni government forces and al-Qaeda continues in the southern part of that country. Radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki is believed to be in the region and may be under siege. Yemeni media report his protectors have been hit hard. More than 10,000 people have fled their homes in the Shabwa province. John Brennan, President Obama's top counterterrorism advisor, interestingly enough, was in Yemen when the clashes kicked off. A White House official says he left the capital of Sana'a on Monday. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine buying a television or vehicle today that you'll still be using in 40 years? Probably not. When the military purchase an airplane, they know it has to last at least that long or longer, and the parts for the airplane may already be obsolete. That's where ARINC comes in. ARINC helps the DoD plan ahead for parts obsolescence. This planning saves money and lessens the risk of counterfeit parts being used if the original supplier no longer exists. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Who is the best dressed Fed? Federal News Radio wants to know as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Nominate someone in your agency by sending us an email to vote@federalnewsradio.com. Be sure to include the person's name, agency, and a photo of the nominee looking their best. Nominations will be accepted through Friday, October 2nd, and be sure to check past winners of our Best in the Federal Government series. It's all online at federalnewsradio.com. Search for Best Of.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Charity Wilson. She's with the American Federation of Government Employees, a large AFL-CIO union that has members and it represents feds in many, many agencies. Charity, I think a lot of people don't understand the fact that in the federal government, if you, someone like AFGE, if you become the bargaining agent for an agency or a component of it, you have to represent non-members as well as members, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these, I guess, in the trade, these are, the people are called free riders, but they get the benefits, but they don't pay the dues. How's your organizing coming?
Our organizing is coming quite well. As a matter of fact, in the AFL-CIO, the public sector unions are the only unions that are growing. And I think that federal workers are beginning to realize the importance of getting good information, which we try to keep them aware of, not only information legislatively about what's going on, but they also want a voice to have input to help their organization achieve its mission. And one of the things that unions are good for is speaking on behalf of folks who might feel insecure about coming forward. As a matter of fact, one of the bills that we hope to get to the president before the end of the year, the Whistleblower Enhancement Act, which passed the House back in the in last January or February, I believe, and has been reported out of the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee in the Senate. We hope to get that to a Senate vote and to the President by the end of the year. That's a bill that basically reforms whistleblower protections for federal workers, because very few federal whistleblowers have prevailed with the MSPB, Merit Systems Protection Board, and federal court when they face retaliation for coming forward with disclosures of wrongdoing or fraud. But surprisingly enough, or I guess maybe not surprisingly, workers who go to the union to pursue, to try to disclose information and to make sure that information gets to the right folks, and when they are retaliated, use the grievance procedure in the collective bargaining agreement, those have been the only workers who have gotten protection pretty much for almost the past 20 years. And so I think workers increasingly see unions as a means to help them do their jobs better, and we certainly are welcome to do that.
Well, I was an officer of a union many years ago, and we found that oftentimes people who would come to us for help were non-members, and they might in some cases they would join at the last minute. They were sort of last-minute converts, and personally it irked me, but professionally we had to carry on with them. So you take them.
That's all part of the game.
Yeah.
you sign up for that. When you become a federal worker union, that's one of the things that you understand that you're dealing with.
I was once at a meeting, and there were two rival union lobby organizers there, and they knew each other because they were after the same turf, and you know, from 9 to 5 they fought like cats and dogs, and afterward they'd go have a beer and whatnot, and the three of us were jogging, and we were in Las Vegas at a convention. We were jogging early in the morning, and one of them had just beaten the other and had taken away a local from him, and the quote loser was laughing because he said, this is a terrible group of people, there's nothing but trouble, you're welcome to them. And I thought it was a funny reaction, but I can see it.
Well, you know, with unions are very much microcosm of American society, and so you've got all types together. And I think what the union's challenge and goal is to help those folks to see that no matter what diverse backgrounds and viewpoints they come from, that you have to speak at one. As one, for your voice at work is much louder when you speak as one, that's sometimes that's easier said than done, but I think given the restrictions on federal union activities and areas of bargaining that don't exist in the private sector, I think we've done pretty well because we do have a lot of limitations that private sector unions don't have. And as a matter of fact, in the fight for TSO collective bargaining rights, a lot of what you hear from lawmakers.
This is a test of the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Operational Area Emergency Alert System. In the event of an emergency, this system would bring you important information.
Hello?
Charity, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we just had a test alert. I hope it was a test. I haven't seen any mushroom clouds out there, and I think we'd be the first to know. I was going to ask you, if you need quickly, call me, will you? When I was talking with Jessica Clement earlier, she pointed out that there had been three votes on freezing federal pay, and I want to ask you about that when we come back from the break. Be right okay. back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, your government is looking for brave people willing to step up and transform government empowered by technology. Will you help your agency be more productive? Will you be ready to virtualize data centers and maximize efficiency within your government agency? Do you have what it takes to get compliant with the U.S. Government Configuration Baseline Initiative focusing on security? Heroes are wanted. Microsoft has the tools to help you be that hero. Go to Microsoft.com/govitHero to apply.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Have you ever tried to figure out how much money you're going to need when you retire? It's not as easy as it sounds. The Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board says no calculator can be completely accurate, and it isn't possible to calculate what your investments will be worth because there are so many variables. TSB officials say their calculators are designed to show you what you can potentially acquire over your career with the federal government. I'm Amy Morris.
Are you getting the most value from your life insurance premium? Probably not. Therefore, take a moment to check out WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that has returned over $52 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. Visit WAEPA.org to learn how you can reduce your premiums and become eligible for future refunds. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
The Intelligence and National Security Report is brought to you by Mantech International Corporation.
Mantech has been providing IT services and solutions to the Air Force for more than 25 years, and they intend to deliver innovative and worldwide support to the upcoming NetSense 2 contract. They provide a full spectrum of net-centric services, including service-oriented architecture enterprise solutions, web service development, cybersecurity, network operations, and sustainment support. Mantech has been named one of the top 100 IT companies in the world by Business Week magazine.
Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. Apply for openings today at Mantech.com. That's Mantech.com. Mantech, leading the convergence of national security and technology.
You run the kids to the bus in the morning, run errands in the afternoon, run out for dinner, then run to music lessons. Let's face it, your schedule has your family running wild. It's time for some healthy running. The Marine Corps Marathon invites you to register your 6 to 13-year-old for the Healthy Kids Fun Run on Saturday, October 30th at the Pentagon. It's a one-mile, confidence-building fun run where every participant proudly walks away with a medal. The fun includes a family fitness festival, mascots, entertainment, and more. Visit MarineMarathon.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and we're in the last half of the session. If you're still under your desk because of that emergency alert warning, you can come out now. I looked out the window, and I see a policeman on a Segway with a ice cream cone. So all is well here in America. Talking about the potential for a federal pay freeze, Jessica Clement of the FEMA mentioned in the first half of the show that there had been three votes on a federal pay freeze, and one of them was quite close. And she pointed out that these were all defeated on procedural purposes. So it wasn't an up or down issue, and it wasn't the federal pay raise wasn't necessarily the centerpiece of it. If it came to a bill with somebody like this Representative Kaufman has proposed furloughs and pay cuts for federal for members of Congress, but if it came to one for a pay freeze, how do you think it would go in this lame duck session?
We believe that we would win that vote, and the reason being is that you know, there's a lot of political posturing going on prior to the election. But the bottom line is that there are many, many ways to address the deficit. And we are trying to get information to the Hill that is profoundly unfair to basically try to balance the budget on the backs of federal workers when there are other avenues that have not been approached. But it's also to make sure that lawmakers know the very important work that federal workers do, you know, whether you're talking about scientists at INH or whether you're talking about Border Patrol officers, you know, whether you're talking about TSOs who keep people from doing bad things on airplanes, or doctors and nurses at VA hospitals, or correctional officers at the Bureau of Prisons, but also those correction officers who are basically guarding prisoners who we believe to be terrorists or gang leaders in federal prison. The meat and poultry inspectors. I mean, we've just seen what is going on, what went on with the egg scare last month. These folks do extremely important work, and sometimes lawmakers need to be reminded of that. That we're not talking about widgets. We're not talking about cogs in a wheel. We are talking about human beings who have families who have been committed to their jobs and bring a lot of expertise and a commitment to the mission of their agency into public service. So we would be working hard to get that information out there. We do have members in most federal agencies. We have members in every state, and we have members in every congressional district. And we would be making sure that those lawmakers knew that, you know, these aren't faceless individuals. These are your constituents, and they're serving you in this country well.
Very good. Listen, I certainly appreciate you coming on here. We're going to get you back, Charity Wilson from AFGE, and good luck with your organizing. And thank you all for being with us, and we'll see you here at this same time next week, 10 a.m. on WFED, 1500 a.m.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, we have 30 seconds. We apologize for that temporary test, but I see it's a required monthly thing, and looking at the television monitors here, and everybody's doing it, so we just happen to get lucky today. But everything is all right, and you can go have your lunch secure and happy. We'll see you here next week at Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Truth about federal telework. Learn what you and your agency need to know at the Telework Center at federalnewsradio.com, keyword telework. Sponsored by Tanberg, now a part of Cisco.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive, best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity. We're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We